So before we start this journey, let's just dedicate our morning to him. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, it is with open hearts we come to you this morning, and maybe it's with closed hearts we come. But Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill us and just soften our hearts, places that need softened. I pray that there'd be places in our hearts that could awaken and we could hear your voice, and that this Christianity thing that we do wouldn't just be just a thing, but it'd be a way of life. So Lord, thank you for today. Just pray that you'd be with each discussion leader and their groups. Lord, I just pray for open thoughts and communication. Take away the barriers of fear, and let's just dive into your word and see what God has for us today. Pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm going to dismiss the children at this time. So children, you are going to the youth room. And again, a reminder to those people out there, the bell will be ringing at 10:05. Okay? And at that point, you'll be going to your regular classes. Yes.
At the end of our class discussion period, you said it'll end at 10:45. Will there be a warning bell?
There will be a warning bell. So first bell will ring at 10:40.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. Thanks. So God's been laying this on my heart for probably 4 months now, and I really didn't feel like tackling it because there's a lot of logistics involved, but it just kept feeling God's call. And somebody from the church here just really spoke in and said, really encouraged me to follow God on this one. So that's where we're going to go. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22 is where I'm going to begin this morning. I was amazed as I studied following God and what it looks like, how much of the New Testament just centers around this theme of following God. Matthew 4:18 says this: as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. This call to follow is transformational. It won't leave you at the same place as you were before you were called to follow. Transformation, the best illustration that I can think of, is a butterfly. It's this caterpillar that's just eats things, and it turns into this amazing butterfly that has beauty. It can fly, it can soar. Transformation. It will make you into something that you weren't before. And it will impact the lives of others. That's really what I would love to see with this study. I want to see us impact others, people around us. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to be looking at the functions of the church, and I think there's six major functions of what a church should look like. You may have your ideas. This is just what I came up with. So we're going to be going over six functions of the church, but before we do that, I want to put ourselves into the Word of God. So right now, just open up your Bibles, and I want you to read silently at where you're at, Ephesians chapter 4. It's just an incredible book on what the church is supposed to look like. I want you to write down two things as you read this passage. Something that jumps out at you from Ephesians chapter 4 as it relates to the function of the church. So you just quiet your hearts and read Ephesians chapter 4. I'd just like you for you to call out a few things that you see in these verses that speak to the function of the church. James, get us started. I saw you writing. Keep yourselves in unity of the Spirit. Keep them coming. A different way of living. I thought we are different, but it is different. Tell your neighbor the truth. Equipping. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. That's an interesting verse right there. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. God made you for a purpose, right? We all believe that. But are you walking worthy of that calling? What else? God's in the house.
Forgiving one another.
Let's not forget that. We have this heritage that we're very passive aggressive. I forgive you, but don't really come into my life anymore type of thing. It's not what God's calling us to as believers.
Verse 3, it talks about unity and peace in the same verse.
Unity and peace. I don't see that in every church.
I don't think it's an accident that he starts out with humility.
So what significance do you think it has, Sam? The best way I know to be humble is to understand what God did for me. And it just totally changes the way I view that person. So I think that's good. A couple more yet.
Verse 12, building up the body in Christ.
Building up the body in Christ. We have a tendency to tear down.
Verse 29,
I want that be a special place to be. Let only edifying things come out of your mouth. One more.
Verse 14.
He starts out as a prisoner.
Okay. He starts out as a prisoner.
And when you're a prisoner, you're captive. You're bound.
You're bound.
To
but we're not gonna stay bound.
No.
All right.
But it's a commitment.
Good. Carl. Okay, don't be tossed to and fro. You got to know what you believe. Or if we don't get into the rest of what I'm doing here, I won't get done by 11:05. So the first function of the church that I was thinking of is intercession and prayer. A vital part of what we do as a church needs to be interceding on people's behalf, not just within our church, but with our neighbors, our friends, people that we're close to, even our enemies, needs to be a very important part of a church. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So I want you to take a little time. And as we just come before God, I want you to write down on your paper who comes to your mind that needs your prayers right now. I'll give you 1 minute. My guess is there's more than one name on that paper. And how hard have you been praying for that person? When God lays something on your heart, he's calling us to intercede on their behalf. The second thing that God calls us to as a church is to minister or to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So this verse is just telling us the church should be involved in serving. But I don't have time to serve. It's hard to serve. You know, if I would ask Norman, what's in the area of service, do you see a big change from when you were my age to now in church service as far as what they do to serve? No? Okay. You didn't do much of anything as far as in the community. How about when a neighbor had a need, do you see a difference now? Okay. I still think we help. I still think we meet needs, but it doesn't seem like there's much time in the day as there was back then. And I don't get that because we have all kinds of technology that are supposed to make things faster, but we're busier. Like when there's a need, neighbors would get together and help each other, and it would happen just like that. I still see it today, but not nearly as much, even though we have all kinds of time-saving devices, so to speak. I was doing some reading on Menno Simons, and I think this is really important. Let me ask you a question. What do you see, as we think about serving, what do you see as society's biggest needs currently? Just call a few of them out. What do you see some of the biggest needs where our society is struggling the most? Go ahead.
Stable families.
You would know. You're a teacher, right? Stable families. That's a huge one. What else?
To go with that, a place to belong.
A place to belong. And that goes with, I have this written down on my paper. One of the biggest things that our country struggles with is loneliness. And that's not just out in the world. I teach at a Christian school. I see it in school. I can see it at times right here in our church. Statistics show that over 80% struggle with loneliness or depression. That's a society problem. That just tells me that people aren't really concerned about others anymore. They're just concerned about what works for them. It's so easy, even as your pastor, I get stuck in this big time. I get stuck in, okay, so I worked all week. Let me be comfortable for a while. I get stuck in that rut a lot. But what is God calling us to? So I mentioned Menno Simons, and you know, back then, the church had fallen into the state of complacency. They did the same thing every Sunday. But the things that he was really concerned about was child baptism. And the reason he was concerned about child baptism is because people were getting baptized as infants and living however they wanted to live, but they were baptized, so they were saved. And Menno Simons said, this isn't right. And he stood up and said, this is not what God intended. He wants us to live righteous and holy lives. Just because we're baptized once doesn't mean that we're always saved. And the other thing was the sacraments. When you took communion, it meant that you were actually partaking of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a symbol, it was actual body of Christ. And again, the same thing was happening. They would come and they would have communion, and it would be like, okay, so we're eating Jesus' body, so everything's okay for this week. and they would go live their lives the way they wanted to live their lives, and they would do the same thing the next Sunday. And he stood up and said, this isn't right. Well, thank God for him, we broke that cycle, okay? We understand now that it's not just about an infant baptism and you're saved. So he broke that generational thing for us, and because of it, we're a richer people. But I would pose this to you. I think we are struggling with stuff as a church now that Menno Simons would have never dreamed about we'd be struggling with. So what are those things that we need to take a stand as fathers, as mothers, as teenagers? What are those things that we need to take a stand for to start to correct some of these ills? So ministry and serve, you know, Menno Simons used his gifts to serve. He was actually a priest. He was well-versed. He studied a lot. And he just dove into the scripture and really researched what it means to be a Christian. The other thing that I thought of when I thought about societal ills is digital addictions. What are we going to do about it? We've only had these stupid smartphones for, that doesn't make any sense, for about 12 years, okay? We don't even really know how's it going to affect us. I have one in my pocket, so don't get alarmed. I'm not a prohibitionist. But I'm just asking you, what are we going to do as fathers and parents in this whole role? So then I want to move on to fellowship. Fellowship, in Hebrews 10:24-25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. It tells us that the church should fellowship. It uses the word provoke each other to good works. Fellowship is more than just food that we're going to eat at lunchtime today. I read a story in a church that before they ate the meal, there was somebody from the church who would actually share a 5-minute testimony of what God's doing in their lives, and then they would eat their meal. Another church just took their table and they spent some time praying together before a noon meal. How do we take just surface talk and make it meaningful engagement? So those are some of the things I want you to be thinking about as you go in your discussion group. And the other thing, Dan, you mentioned earlier, forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's what fellowship is. We're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. But what are we going to do about it? How are we going to react to it? Fourth thing is evangelism. He says, oh, this is a great thing for a Mennonite pastor to talk about, right? But actually, it's something that we're called to as a church. And we need to start taking it seriously. It says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It tells us the church should evangelize. You know, evangelism comes in so many different forms, and you think, ah, I can't do that. How about this? I don't know of anybody, when you care about somebody, and you would say something like this, you know, there was a time in my life where I was really lonely, or I was really depressed. But God came in, and he changed my heart. People are going to listen to that. Because all of a sudden it applies to their life, okay? You have a connection there. When I last preached, I talked about Lazarus. I talked about being raised from the dead. When you think about evangelism, what does it mean to take somebody who's dead in their sin and to resurrect them? That's evangelism. To pray with a fervor. Francis Chan told a story like this. He said, I met with a pastor from India, and he said he comes to America, and he meets with pastors, and he says, I go away, and I said, do they even know Christ? He said, don't people know? Like, we have all these blogs and videos and pastors and good preaching. And this pastor said, don't people know that they don't have to wait for Moses to go up the mountain and bring down the word of God to them? Don't they know that you can climb the mountain and get it yourself? Our heritage as Mennonites did just that. But I want to warn you, I think we've gotten away from that. Our early forefathers were spirit-filled, they were spirit-led, and they were concerned about the word of God. So that was discipleship and learning. And the last one is worship. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering, come into his presence, worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. It tells us that the church should worship. And I think there's several different kinds of ways we can worship. One is with praise and also repentance. It's things that we do with our mouth. But another way that we can worship is through acts of love. And as Danny said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. When we do that, we are worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to wrap it up yet, but we're not close to done yet. That's what your discussion groups are for.